going to try to really project when I speak this morning, but if the sound comes on suddenly, that may cause a startle response. So I apologize in advance for that if it happens. In our culture, the older we get, the trickier it can be to talk about our age, right? Somehow it's easier and clearer earlier. We have a common understanding of what baby, toddler, preschooler, and teenager mean. But what about young adult, middle-aged adult, older adult? Which years do these stages span, and when do we know we're transitioning from one to the other? When I headed to Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary in 2010, I was interested to find that the student body there fell roughly into three demographic groups. About a third of us had come straight from undergrad. These were the 20-somethings. Another third of us were mostly in our 30s and some of us had young families. And the last third of us were in our 40s, 50s, and 60s. As you might imagine, this range of ages made for lively conversation and an enriching mix of perspectives for all of us. And it kind of reminds me of what this Wise One series that Susan and Worship Committee planned offers us as people of different ages traveling together this Advent. In my first seminary semester, I took a class called Human Development and Christian Formation. Our primary text was Spiritual Growth Through the Life Cycle by Peter Feldmeyer, a Catholic priest who got his PhD in Christian spirituality from Berkeley's Graduate School of Theology. Now, Feldmeyer writes in general terms, and of course, we're all individuals who move through life at our own pace and in our own ways. We don't always do everything at the same time. Yet there's something about his basic thesis that was very intriguing to me then and continues to ring true now. We humans develop in ways that make us uniquely open to spirituality in different ways at different stages of life, starting as early as infancy all the way through old age. When I showed up for that first class, I was 50 years old, right smack in the middle of Feldmeyer's definition of middle age, which was 40 to 65. That's his take on it. So when we were asked to present one of the life stages to class, guess which one I was asked to present? At that moment, I wasn't feeling particularly excited about being middle-aged. Dave and I had really enjoyed our years of raising a family, but now our youngest two had graduated from college and moved out. There we were, empty nesters married 30 years, trying to figure out how to relate to each other again as two people instead of two within five. I remember telling our marriage counselor, "I hate being such a cliche." I had also just finished serving as lead layperson at our church. And in many ways, I had really enjoyed that role and found it very life-giving. At the same time, there had been so much that had happened during that time. The resignation of our much-loved pastor of 17 years, the search for an interim and then for a new long-term pastor, a major construction project required to make our building accessible, and initial conversations about becoming a welcoming congregation. At the end of those 6 years, I have to admit I was weary, a bit disillusioned with some people, and somewhat disappointed in myself, too. So when faced with my first seminary assignment to report on midlife I was not exactly thrilled. But I wanted my younger classmates to get a little taste of the second third of life for themselves. So I decided to try to have a little fun with the assignment, and luckily, two of my 20-something seminary friends were willing to help. I presented each with suitcases filled with symbols of all that people in our culture tend to accumulate by middle age. Not just things, but roles and responsibilities too. I started by giving them pillows to stuff under their sweaters and represent those pesky 25 pounds we Americans tend to put on between 25 and 50. They also unpacked and were asked to try to simultaneously juggle laptops and stacks of committee chair files, a frying pan, a hammer, and a jug of laundry detergent, a kid's soccer ball and musical instruments, mortgage payment notices, bills for after-school activities, college tuition, and weddings, yarn and knitting needles, a couple of low-fat cookbooks, and workout clothes, plus a heating pad and big jar of ibuprofen. Our assigned class readings also named some of the significant issues that often arise at this stage of life. The question of mortality can start bubbling up more as we begin to intentionally grapple with the reality that we will die one day. I remember when my mother turned 60, she told me that she'd started looking at the obituaries and spending extra time looking at the ages of people. Thinking about our mortality can prompt us to look back on our lives, reflecting on those forks in the road, the big decisions that brought us to this point. Spiritual questions often begin to surface too. Does my understanding of faith still make sense right now? Reflecting on these questions in the midlife journey, Feldmeyer quoted from Dante's The Divine Comedy. Midway in our life's journey, I went astray from the straight road and woke to find myself alone in a dark wood. How shall I say? What wood that was? I never saw so drear, so rank, so arduous a wilderness. Its very memory gives a shape to fear. Death could scarce be more bitter in that place. But since it came to good, I will recount all that I found revealed there by God's grace. Here in the last two lines, Dante hints at the rich spiritual potential of midlife, one of those thin places in the human life cycle where we may be uniquely open to encountering the divine. This is good news for us at CMCL. According to the congregational profile that the pastor search committee gave me, as much as a half of us are in our 40s, 50s, and 60s. This second third of life can be a time of peril and promise. And the gifts that we middle-aged adults carry with us on our Advent journey this year likely reflect some of both. In the one hand, we may come bearing riches from full lives in this new season. The pure gold of meaningful friendships that have spanned many years. The treasure of hard-won long-term marriages or partnerships. Gifts of knowledge and expertise accumulated over decades. And not always, but sometimes, at least a bit more money and or time than we may have had at earlier stages of life. In the other hand, we may come bearing other kinds of gifts. doubts and questions, newly surfacing fears about our future, a shifting sense of what's important, from the hard work to build a life for ourselves and our families that was so necessary at earlier stages, to a growing restlessness and a yearning to impact future generations in good and lasting ways. How might Zechariah and Elizabeth shed some helpful light for us this morning? After all, they are midlife wise ones in the Advent story. And like us, they carried their own human disappointments, weariness, and longings. When reading and reflecting on this morning's text with eyes of a middle-aged person, I noticed Zechariah and Elizabeth modeling three spiritual practices. Might these point the way this Advent, not just for those of us who are middle-aged, but for us all? They just keep showing up. They adopt a servant stance, and they humbly attend to the holy. Luke describes Zechariah and Elizabeth as righteous before God, living according to God's ways, active participants in their communities of faith. I'm struck with the matter-of-fact way the story begins with what seems like a very ordinary day. Zechariah's section was on duty, and he was chosen by lot for that day's tasks. If he attended CMCL, we might say, check the calendar. Yeah, it's Zechariah's turn to lead worship. That's the person who usually lights the peace lamp. He'll take care of it. Zechariah simply did what it sounds like he had done many times over many years. He rolled out of bed, got dressed, and showed up. In my first weeks at CMCL, I remember meeting someone here who is an empty nester. This person told me that she had been intentional about saying yes when asked to serve as a leader this year. She recognized how easy it would be to drift away from church for a while after young adult kids leave home. Instead, she is choosing to keep showing up. That's a Zechariah-like spiritual practice. Zechariah showed up, and he adopted a servant stance. The text says that he was serving as priest before God to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. At the time of the incense burning, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. It was on behalf of the whole community of faith that Zechariah was serving. Over these first 3 months at community, it has been great to get to know this congregation, including many midlife people who I notice are faithfully serving God and others here. Just a few examples from the last week or two include some of you cleaning up after a potluck, helping with the youth wreath fundraiser, fixing broken toilets, playing beautiful music, troubleshooting the sanctuary's audio system, taking care of little ones in the fishbowl, planning Advent worship, serving on council, pastoral team, committees, ad hoc groups, and volunteering with Moose early in the morning, that before school program for families with low income. When Zechariah showed up that day with the intention to serve, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him. Of course, he was terrified and overwhelmed, but the angel had good news. Do not be afraid, for your prayer has been heard. On the other side of fear and disappointment, Zechariah and Elizabeth were to experience unexpected joy and gladness. Others would also rejoice because the angel promised that their child would grow up to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God had big eternal purposes in mind, and middle-aged Zachariah and Elizabeth had a part to play. Showing up, serving, and humbly attending to the holy were spiritual practices that proved breathtaking. Struggling to understand and believe, Zechariah was rendered mute and unable to speak. After conceiving soon afterwards, Elizabeth went into a season of seclusion. These two had much to ponder. Might the Spirit be inviting us to more intentionally show up this Advent, offering our admittedly mixed bag of midlife gifts? How might we adopt the stance of a servant, the better to glimpse God's good work in us and in the world? And are there a few small ways that we might choose to simplify our lives in the next 2 weeks in order to more humbly wait and watch for Christ's coming? While these questions may be especially helpful in midlife, opening ourselves up to see where they might lead seems a promising path for wise ones of all ages. Show up. Serve in some small way. Humbly watch and wait. Sometimes in midlife and in other seasons of life too, that's all we can do. The good news is that's enough. With this in mind, I'd like to close with a middle years prayer from the Northumbria community. Let's pray. Lord, help me now to unclutter my life, to organize myself in the direction of simplicity. Lord, teach me to listen to my heart. Teach me to welcome change instead of fearing it. Lord, I give you these stirrings inside me. I give you my discontent. I give you my restlessness. I give you my doubt and I give you my despair. I give you all the longings I hold inside. Help me to listen to these signs of change, of growth, to listen carefully and follow where they lead through the breathtaking, empty space of an open door. Amen.